And then that's divided in turn. Love to God is divided into the first four of the Ten Commandments. How to love God. And how to love your neighbors divided in the last six of the Ten Commandments, telling you how to love your neighbor. Now, they're just ten broad principles in the principles of the spirit or the attitude of love. And love is an attitude. It is a spirit. And it's a spiritual principle. It's a spiritual action rather than a material action. But the angel sinned. Lucifer read a letter of rebellion. He inoculated his angels with a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of get instead of give, of hate and opposition instead of love, of vanity and of coveting, wanting to get, and toward others, of jealousy, of envy, rebellion of authority, of competition, leading to strife and violence and destruction, and all that sort of thing. So they had that attitude toward God, one of rebellion, one of vanity toward themselves, and one of jealousy and envy and competition against God. And they flew up to heaven to try to pull a coup and knock God off the throne and rule the whole universe instead of just this earth. But they were cast back down to the earth. Now, something happened to the earth. And the earth became, as you read in the first chapter of Genesis, where it says, without form and void, or that's the Greek, comes from the Greek word tohu and bohu, and actually it means chaotic and confusion or decay. And it probably was decayed, it probably had been a long time. God did not finish the earth. He put them here to finish it and to work on the earth. The earth contains not only just matter, but it contains many forces like energy and many forces of energy that can be put together. Even electricity can be created and energy in various fuels. And finally, we found the energy of the atom. The atomic bomb, and now the hydrogen bomb, and other things like that, all exist in the matter of this earth. But the earth had come into where it had been in the dark, in light, I mean, the light of truth and of God's truth. Now it was in the darkness of error and of sin. So we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, and God there is the Hebrew word was Elohim, which is a unite plural noun, and includes the one who is God and the one who is the Word. And it is including those two, which is God, the God family. And it began with those two who had existed always, forever. God created the heavens, and it should be plural, and this is Moses wrote it in the original Hebrew, and the earth. And they were created all at the same time, as you read in the second chapter of Genesis and verse 4. You care to read it, I'm going to take the time now. So the earth was or became in this chaotic and decayed state, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now you read in the 104th Psalm and verse 30 that God renewed the face of the earth. It says, thou sendest forth thy spirit, and you create and renew, thou renewest the face of the earth. So notice here now, darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was all a watery ocean surface. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. There is the Spirit of God, the power that was going to do it. Now, what about the Word of God speaking? And God said, oh, the one who said it was the Word. And what did he say? Whatever the Father told him to do. Whatever God said to say. He said, let there be light, and there was light. So he went on renewing the face of the earth for man. And after he had done that, then in verse 26, after he had created animals after the animal kind, cattle after the cattle kind, dogs after the dog kind, and others. And I've gone over that so many times. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let us make man after the God kind. Now, man was made to be born into the God family. Right there. And the first man, Adam, was not given eternal life. You read in the seventh verse of the next chapter that God formed man, and that was the man Adam and his wife Eve, out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Breath is called the breath of life. And man became, the dust of the ground became a soul. So a soul comes out of the ground, is not spirit, but is matter. But he didn't have eternal life. He only had a temporary existence. Now, you know the story. There were the two trees in the garden, and Adam had to make a choice. One is the tree of life. The other was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge meant the knowledge of taking to himself spiritual knowledge. Now, that was the knowledge of a way of life. That kind of knowledge meant a way of life, that he would decide for himself how to live. He would decide right from wrong, good from evil, all by himself. He would not look to God as a leader. He would not look to God to tell him which way is right and which is wrong. He took it to himself when he took the fruit of that tree. That's why God forbade it. Now, what about the tree of life? That was also a tree of knowledge. That was revealed knowledge from God, but that kind of knowledge was a way of life, the spiritual way of life, the way of cooperation and peace, the way of happiness, the way that God and the Word had always lived together, the way that he had intended the angels to live, but they didn't live that way. Adam made the wrong decision. He took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He rejected the Holy Spirit of God, which would have revealed to him God's knowledge of the right way to live, a way of life. The way, you see, in Christ was life, in the Word was life, the way he lived. And that could have been in Adam. Now, in the third chapter of Genesis, in verses 22 to 24, you find that as a result of man's sin, now, Adam was on trial to see if he could take over the throne of the earth from Satan. He had to reject Satan's way of living. He had to accept God's way that would have come through the Holy Spirit of God, because you cannot understand spiritual knowledge, which God must reveal. But even though God reveals it, you can't understand it without the Spirit of God. Let me explain this. A cow has every faculty that you have for receiving knowledge. The only way you can receive knowledge is either through the sense of sight, or hearing, or smelling, tasting, or feeling. You can't tell me any other way you receive knowledge. You don't get it any other way. You just don't get it through your little toe. You don't get it through any other organ or any other part of the body. Just through those five senses. Now, a cow has every one of those senses. A cow can see and it can hear. But you try to explain some of the laws of chemistry or physics or astronomy to a cow. Well, it has ears to hear if you want to talk. It has ears to see if you want to give it to it in writing. But it can't understand anything. Not any more than a chicken or a turkey. And they don't even know enough to get out of the middle of the street. And so Adam made the wrong decision, and he did not qualify, and Satan remained on the throne. Adam deceived Eve, and Eve led Adam by the nose to do the wrong thing. And many wives have been misleading their husbands ever since, when a wife is supposed to be her husband's helper and they're supposed to get along together. But it takes two to get along together, and just one alone can't do it. But the two had better both be right, or else they're in trouble. So now God shut up the Holy Spirit. Now he shut up the Holy Spirit until Christ, the second Adam, should come. Until someone could qualify to set up God's world, God's government. Adam would have to have accepted God's government, which God would have revealed to him through the Holy Spirit if he had taken of the tree of life. But Adam never did get it, and he never learned God's law, really. He never learned spiritual knowledge because he rejected that. And Satan went on with the whole spirit of rebellion, of vanity, of glorifying himself, with the spirit of coveting and trying to get everything he could, of competition, of strife, of envy and jealousy, and of hate, and of tearing down instead of building up. Now, we have to understand the mind of man at that time before we go any further, and I've explained that again and again, and I just want to cover it again because we want to have it in mind. The mind of man is brain plus spirit. Now, a cow has a brain just like a human has. An elephant has a brain just like a human, only an elephant's brain is bigger. A cow's brain, I think, is a little smaller. At least a chimpanzee is just a little smaller than a man, than a human brain. But the difference is they have no spiritual comprehension. You give them spiritual knowledge, they haven't any idea what you're talking about. In fact, they don't have even material knowledge, the animals. They only have instinct, born in them, instinct. Man has to have knowledge. He has to be trained because his mind has to lead everything his hands or his feet or his body does. The mind has to govern. In other words, you have to have a head, just as we need God over all people, your own body to perform and to function needs a brain to guide it and tell it what to do. Man had to have knowledge. He not only had to have knowledge to deal with matter and with things, and God created him with that kind of a mind, but he didn't create him with a mind to get along with other people. And in making things, the reason man never learned to even make very many things till this 20th century was because, and that's the 20th century since Christ. It's a lot more than the 20th century from Adam. But it's because man did not have the Spirit of God and spiritual knowledge. He only had the knowledge to deal with things. But one person alone does not build an airplane or an automobile or a steam engine or a railroad train. One man doesn't do it. It takes the cooperation of many men. One man can't build a great steel works that supplies the steel to build many of these things with. And men can't work together except there be a right leadership and a way of living and working together. And that requires the law of God, or you're in trouble. And the world has been in trouble all the time, ever since Adam. Now, I've gone through this about the human mind again and again. But at the time that God closed up the Holy Spirit from man, at that same time, well, I want to read you first a scripture here. It's in Revelation 13, and it's just the latter part of verse 8. Where it speaks about the Lamb, which is Christ, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the foundation of the world is the time of Adam, because the world didn't start till Adam made that decision. And the world started in Adam as he was influenced by Satan. So, at that time, it was decided that Christ was to come and be the second Adam, that he could pay for the sins of humanity. Otherwise, humanity could never be redeemed from the sin of Adam. Now you take the sin of Adam, and his son, Cain, was born the same way, and Abel. But you see, Satan got to Cain and began influencing him before he was even 6 months old. Cain had a spirit in him, and that spirit was on the wavelength of Satan, who is a spirit, and Satan's spirit had access to his spirit and put a spirit of animosity and contention, disagreement. And Cain disagreed with his brother Abel. And he was about to have a fight, and God talked to him. And God warned him, says, you be careful, you're going to be in trouble. But he didn't listen to God. He didn't have God's spirit, and he wasn't in tune with God. And he went ahead and killed his brother Abel. Now, God did speak to him, but his mind wasn't open to understand what God said. He didn't comprehend any truth that God revealed. God revealed the truth to him, he'd be in trouble if he did it, if he went ahead with his anger and his spirit of revenge. But he got revenge, all right, and his brother Abel was dead. And Cain was greatly punished, and then he complained his punishment was too great, and that's the way humans have been ever since, just like that. Same attitude. Now, also, at the time when God closed up the Holy Spirit, the foundation of the world, you read in Hebrews 9:27, this became the policy of God. It was appointed from that time for men once to die, but after that, the judgment. God had a policy. Christ was to come, that there would be a time of judgment when people would have a chance. Their sins would be forgiven by Christ, and they would have a chance to receive the Holy Spirit that Adam had rejected. And that was set up from that time. From that time it was decreed that Christ would come, that the Lamb of God would be slain. And that was about 4,000 years later, but nevertheless it did happen. Now also, it was decreed, as you read in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, 23, 24, and on. Verse 15, beginning with verse 22, as in Adam all died. Adam only had a temporary life. He was going to die. And God said, if you take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Well, his children did the same thing, and they've been dying. So it's appointed a man once to die. But after this, a judgment. Well, there has to be life after that. It couldn't be a judgment. And so, as in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15:22. So in Christ shall all, the same all who died, be made alive by a resurrection. Now, God decreed that. He decreed that Christ would come and pay the sins of people and that they would be given a chance like Adam had in the first place. But God had shut up the Holy Spirit. Now we have to know something about the human mind, and I've gone into that again and again, but I think it's good if I read a couple of scriptures again, because I think this is something that many of you have not yet fully gotten. I wonder how many of you could explain this to someone else, someone out in the world that's not in the church, would say, Well, what is this? I understand psychology, and there's a man who used to be on our faculty. He's now on the faculty of another college, and he's teaching psychology, that you're an okay person, that you must have confidence in yourself, you must have vanity, you must think you're a somebody, and it's only if you think you're pretty good that you ever will be, but it's all in your own self. You don't need any help from God. You just do it yourself in your own. That's what Adam had. And it's what the world's been doing ever since. And look at the world. That's the world Christ came to call us out of. And here's one that has been here and graduated from this college and been on the faculty and been a head minister in the church, but is now teaching that kind of rot. Some have turned back, like Lot's wife. There was something in the sermon this morning, if you were here in the morning service, about turning back. And unfortunately, some have gotten to the top in this church and then turned back. I don't know that they'll turn into a pillar of salt like Lot's wife, but they certainly won't turn into children in the kingdom of God and sons of God. And I don't know, I read in the book of Hebrews that if after we have come to this knowledge of the truth and tasted of God's Holy Spirit, that if we fall away, it's impossible to renew us to repentance again. And I sometimes wonder. The only chance that some of those people who have been here have is if, so far as I can see now, if they never were really converted in the first place and God had not called them, and if he will do it sometime in the future, otherwise they have had it. They'll live the rest of this life and they've already been judged. We are being judged now. But the people from Adam's time on until Christ were not being judged. It's appointed a man once to die after this, but judgment. They have not come to their judgment yet. Now, do you realize that? Why is it God is only calling a few and that we are the first fruits and God isn't calling others in the world? I want to come to that before I'm through with this sermon today. I want to show you why God could not have called the others. You think he's playing favors to call us and not others? Oh, no. If anything, he's playing favors for them. But that needs to be explained. Well, now about the human mind. Here in Job, the 32nd chapter and verse 8, there is a spirit in man. And now you turn to verse 18. And it says, I am full of matter, I was composed of it. The spirit within me constraineth me. That is, it influences, it doesn't force you, doesn't compel you, but it does tend to lead you, and it does motivate you. The spirit. And Satan is a spirit, and he gets you into a wrong spirit, and that wrong spirit does motivate you into the wrong attitude and the wrong way altogether. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, let me just go over a little of this once again. In verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, as man is made now, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, a man cannot receive spiritual knowledge since the Holy Spirit was shut up. That's exactly what that's talking about. Now the next verse, but God reveals them to us by his Spirit. Now the Spirit doesn't do the revealing, brethren. The Holy Spirit is not a teacher. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God to open your mind to comprehension. God is the teacher. And now notice here, but God has revealed, not the Holy Spirit has revealed, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit is merely the means that opens your mind to comprehend when God teaches, when God reveals, and it's revealed knowledge. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, here it comes, next verse. For what man knoweth the things of a man, has the knowledge that a human can have, knowledge of chemistry, knowledge of physics, knowledge of astronomy, mechanical knowledge, save by the spirit of man that is in him. The spirit of man is what gives you physical knowledge. But it doesn't give you spiritual knowledge. Even so, the things of God, or spiritual knowledge, and what God reveals and what God teaches, knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will open your mind to understand. And you can't understand the things of God until the Spirit of God comes. Now, get what I said about a cow. A cow does not have a spirit. It just has a brain. And its brain is as good as your brain. It's just like your brain. made in the same way, in the same kind of manner, in the same form and shape, in every way at all. Every way. But a cow can't understand mathematics, and you can't explain a computer and how to operate it by to a cow, or a chicken, or a horse, or even an elephant, which is perhaps what we would call a little more intelligent, but not of human intelligence. But these truths, the spiritual truths, are revealed by God, but through the Holy Spirit, and cannot be understood except after you've received the Holy Spirit. Now, God closed up the Holy Spirit from the time of Adam until Christ should come. So I want you to notice, when Christ came, he said, I will build my church. But before I come to that, I want to talk about the world Jesus came into. A civilization started with Adam, and Adam only had the knowledge to deal with things. He did not know how to even deal with other people, let alone how to deal with God and receive instruction and direction from God and supervision. And you must have supervision. You must have a supervisor. You must have a leader. We have many departments in this work, but there is a leader over every department. And others are under him, and he supervises their work. And they're all responsible to me, and I'm responsible to Christ. And that's the way it has to be. It has to be an organization. Christ said he was the vine, and we are the branches. And the grapes come off of the branches. Now there's one main stem. There are other little stems off of that, and different little branches. And it's the branches that produce the fruit. But they can produce it only as long as they're joined onto the main vine, and the larger little branch, and that branch onto the still larger one. Or, like in a tree, there are many twigs, and then there are larger branches, and it gets down to bigger branches, and they're all joined onto the trunk. And it all the life of the tree comes out of the roots.